Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and today we once again have our guest Bible teacher, our pastoral intern, Michael Tolercio, who's going to be leading us this morning through Joshua chapter 4. Here's Mike.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. I am really thankful that I have opportunity to open up God's Word with you here this morning. Let's ask that the Lord would open his word to us through prayer. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, you are a great king, and you are worthy of our reverence and our awe. You deserve our praise, and we want to give you that praise. We want to stand in awe of you. We want to treat you as the great king who you really are. We need your help, Lord. As we come to you in your word, would you help us to see your goodness? Would you help us to see how you are the one who has initiated relationship with us? And would you help us to see and remember what you've done to make that relationship flourish? And we pray this for Jesus's glory, for our good as your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking at Joshua chapter 4 this morning, and I will go ahead and read that for us now, beginning in verse 1. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever.' And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste. And when all the people had finished passing over, the ark of the Lord and the priests passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle, to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests bearing the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in times to come, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Well, it's an awful reality for some, but imagine being in a relationship with someone who can't quite remember who you are. That's a tragedy. And one of the reasons why it's so tragic is because memory is so important to relationship itself. If a person can't remember you, they can't really have a relationship with you. And God understands this dynamic. And that's why he gives the instructions that he does to Joshua and the Israelites in today's passage. Because he wants them to have a deep and meaningful relationship with him for their own good. And he knows that in order for that to happen, the people are going to have to remember who he is and what he's done for them. And so he instructs Joshua to appoint 12 men to take these certain stones and to put them in a certain location in order to trigger the memory of the people of Israel in the future, and not just the people present in this passage we read today, but really future generations, to remember what God has done for his people in the text that we've just read. Now, what has he done? Well, he's done a few things. And so first, I think it might be helpful just to recall the situation as the book of Joshua opens. The people of Israel are in some ways leaderless as a result of Moses' death at the end of the book of Deuteronomy. And so God, at the beginning of Joshua, the book of Joshua, says to Joshua, the man whom the book is named after, just to be clear, I'm sure you knew that, that he is going to appoint Joshua to be the new Moses. In more words or less, he says in chapter 1, verse 5, in the second half of the verse, "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." And then he calls Joshua to be courageous and bold and to do the work that's before him. In fact, even the people themselves say the same. They give him the same charge. And then it's in chapter 3, verse 7, which was yesterday's devotional, that mentions God saying to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." And then, by the time we get to chapter 4, verse 14, as we just read, it's at that point, "On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life." So God is, through this process that we've seen play out, in particular in chapters 3 and 4 of Joshua, God is making it clear who the leader, who the new leader in the vein of Moses is of his people. It's this man Joshua. And the people are meant to be secured in the reality that Joshua is the leader of Israel under the lordship of the Lord, under God, under Yahweh's sovereign hand. Joshua is God's chosen leader for his people. Now, that's significant for Israel for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that they can trust Joshua. They can trust him as he instructs them and he commands them to do certain things as they go forward and as the book unfolds. But for us, we recognize that Joshua was just pointing forward to a greater man that we know whose name means God saves, right? Because that's what Joshua means, God saves. And we know that the true God saves man is not just man, but is also God himself, God the Son, Jesus. We know that the greater Joshua is Jesus Christ. And that's important for us because it's just a simple way of seeing the consistency of the Lord from the Old to the New Testament. God had one leader of his people in the Old Testament at this time, and that was Joshua. God has one true leader, even greater than Joshua, Jesus Christ, and he will always be the leader of God's people. And we can look clearly to that because, as God gave a sign in today's passage for the people to look at and see that Joshua was really the leader of his people, God has given us a much greater sign. He's given us much greater testimony to his faithfulness in Christ Jesus. And just like God wanted his people to look at the stones to remember what the Lord had done in bringing his people into the land of Jericho, over the Jordan, which dried up just as God dried up the sea, the Red Sea, there with Moses. He did that with Joshua in order to establish him as the leader. God has done something even greater than that in Jesus. And he's given us a memorial, we might say, or a testimony, an institution, really, of the Lord's Supper to point us back to what Jesus has done to deliver us from the bondage of slavery to sin and to bring us into the land of true rest with him and with his people one day in eternity with the Father himself. And so we have the Lord's Supper as a memorial. Now, it's not only a memorial, it's more than that, but it is a memorial, and it is an opportunity for us to think about how the true leader of God's people was broken on our behalf. His body was broken and his blood was poured out so that we could be forgiven of our sins and we could be brought into true rest. We could be saved from the bondage to slavery as Moses and Joshua led God's people out of Egypt and into this new land. God did much more, considerably more than that in Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenly places. And he has given us a means to look back to what he has done, but also forward to what he will do one day. Because you see, just as the stones in the time of Joshua here in Joshua chapter 4 were meant to point back to something, they were also in some way pointing forward, because they were stones that were piled up, right? And what would eventually happen is that the people of Israel, who had been in God's presence through the Ark of the Covenant, which would be set in the tabernacle, which was a tent that would move around with the people, the stones pointed forward to a temple, where the stones of the temple would be the more permanent structure of the Lord's presence with his people in the land that he was going to give the people in Jerusalem. And just as we can look back on the stones and know that they were actually a way to remember Yahweh, but actually to symbolize his furtherance of his presence with his people, so we, the living stones of God's people, the living stones, as Peter calls us in 1 Peter 2, we being God's temple now, we commune with one another, and we can look around as we are partaking of this sacrament, of this Lord's Supper feast, and we can know that the people that we are with, the living stones of the Lord, are a picture of what God is going to do when one day Jesus, the man who is God saves, is going to return and take us to be with him and with his people forever, where there will be no more sin, where there will be true unity, and where there will be a glorious reality for God's people, where we will remember him perfectly, where those who belong to him will have perfect memories, where there will be no more loss of memory, loss of relationship, trouble, and sadness and destruction. There will be perfection with God and with his people. So we can look back at what God has done in Christ as we partake of the Lord's Supper. We can look forward to what God will do when we partake of the supper. And not only that, there are many other means by which God might have you to remember what he's done in your life. It will always be centered around what he has done in Christ and what he has told us in his word. But think to Deuteronomy 6, for instance, where God commanded his people to write his word on the lintels of their home, the doorposts of their home, on their gates outside, to wear his word around around on their foreheads or wherever it may be, to be with the Lord by remembering his word. That may be one such way that we can remember him today and look forward to what he'll do. It might involve journaling and writing down specific ways that the Lord has delivered you when you didn't think that he could or would. What will you do today to remember the Lord? That's a thought for us as we close, for us to remember. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being your people. Thank you for the opportunity that you have given us just to remember you, Lord, in this brief time together in Joshua 4, and especially in your Son, Jesus. We pray that as we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper in a few days here, and we would be looking forward to that with joy. Because it's an opportunity to be with your people, to be reminded of what you're really doing through your church. Thank you for this. We pray that we'd be blessed today to know Jesus more deeply, to know you more fully, O Lord, and to make your glory known to one another and to others even beyond your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me for this few minutes here to think of God's word. I pray you'd be blessed as a result. Take care.